Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, yeah, it's the Half Hour of Power, which is the best show, post-show, 30 minutes of rapid fire, unscreened phone calls, here. You're listening to this on a Friday at the soonest. But it is not being recorded on a Friday. It's after the best show. And I'm joined here. This is a different kind of half hour of power. First of all, there's no AP mic. I think this is the first half hour of power he's missed.
I think you're right.
And, well, who said that? That's Dudio, Jason Gore. How are you?
I'm great. Hello.
Thank you for doing it. You held everything down tonight,
Pat. Yeah.
Pat Byrne, it was at Bruce Springsteen, AP Mike was at the show, and Jason was stuck with all the responsibility.
Everything. And Kristen helped out, though.
And Kristen was screening phone calls. That was awesome. Thank you to Jason and Kristen for that. Mm. We also have here a cavalcade of new voices on the best show and Half Hour Power family. I guess we should start with, where should I start? Over here with Eric?
Yeah, go for it.
You want to turn that mic toward you? That's generally the best way to talk into them. I'm going to pop those all the way up.
All right.
Eric White.
Good evening.
Artist! Tonight's a night of art. How are you?
I'm really good.
Do people know you? What's the thing people know you from the most, Eric?
Oh, jeez. Well, I don't know. They probably don't.
From paintings.
Painting? Maybe paintings, yeah.
Right. What's the painting that everybody knows you the most from?
Oh, it might be the one that Target ripped off.
That's right.
That's probably it.
Target took.
Yeah.
And
Target
it
stole.
One of your paintings, and they just took the image for a live action.
Yeah, they converted a painting into a live action ad campaign that ran everywhere. They sold a concept, and then they also kind of recreated the painting in live action.
And who saw it first?
I was just telling Scott, when I was watching a movie at Film Forum, I turned on my phone and my former assistant sent me a screenshot, and I almost vomited in the theater. I didn't understand what was happening, and then I saw the ad, and I was like, well, I'm doomed. How am I going to sue Target?
Yeah, that's not.
But it did have a happy ending.
That's not happening, yeah.
But it did, but it actually did. And that was.
It did have a happy
ending. It had a happy ending, yeah.
Yes. You told me.
I told you the story.
That I should go after Google for come on y'all, it's time
lawyer,
to
yeah.
have fun. And then I was like, I didn't.
There's still time.
There is still time.
Statute of limitations, I don't think it's. Right?
I think we're okay. I think I could.
Yeah, what is that, 7 years?
If you want to talk to my lawyer, let me know.
Let's see how bad things get.
Okay.
I really do feel like I'm in some sort of late Orson Welles era thing. This book, I'm telling you, this book, for The Other Side of the Wind, which is this movie that never came out during his lifetime that he was filming for years. He filmed this thing. Oh. And things were getting so bad for him making it. He's the guy who was like by hook or by crook. He really was filming just like, hey, can we use your house? And then he would film in somebody's house. And then he would like, then he would stay in their house at like, he would, while they were filming there, he'd live in their house to save money and then like run their phone bill up. And then they'd be like, hey, Orson, this is like a $1,400 phone bill. It's like 1972. He's running up a $1,400 phone bill and like, And he just like that. I feel like I'm sliding into that place right now.
Is that at the very end of his life? Or when was he?
It was like he basically worked on this movie in the 70s. Was him working on this movie? Started in 1970 and it kept going. He eventually ended up getting completion funds from Iran, and then there was this this fun moment when the Shah was overthrown, and then this movie was basically tied up with the Ayatollah, and he's just like, the country of Iran is just, it's just so funny. We also have here, we have John Solomon here, my friend.
Hi, Tom.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. It's so nice to finally have you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Yes, John is a record label mogul.
Sure.
Right? Where can people check out your records?
Oh, you can go to comedy-1.com.
And some of the records you put out in 11th Dream Day, El Mudio.
Right? It was like the lost version of El Mudio.
Which is great, and you've done stuff with the Silkworm.
Yeah, there's more of that to come very soon.
Awesome. And then, what's that record you put out about 6 months ago? It was so great.
The Savak record?
Yes.
Yeah?
Really awesome.
I agree.
I can't speak highly enough of your taste-making record label-wise, and you are also a DJ on WPRB, the Princeton station, 103.3.
Absolutely.
And your DJ claim to fame would be the 25-hour Christmas extravaganza.
I think that's fair.
And that's that will be coming up. When is that coming up?
That'll be in less than 4 months.
Are you just horrified by that now to just be like, oh no, it's so close.
We've entered early anxiety dream territory. I've had one about the show so far.
Of doing the, yeah.
I can't remember where the studio is.
Yeah, but it's
I can't
Christmas.
Find any of my records.
Yeah.
I had one anxiety dream where I decided that I would park before the show on train tracks.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, you can imagine what happened midway during the program.
Yeah, that's a pretty on-the-nose stress dream.
Do you have best show-related anxiety dreams?
You want to know what? I don't. I really don't. This is the only thing I'm good at that I honestly don't worry about. I have stress dreams with every other aspect of my existence to where I wake up and I'm still in them and I feel like my mind is still in sleep state, panic-wise, in waking. But not with this, for some reason.
Do you have a common theme in a stress dream about what happens? Like your teeth fall out or...
I don't get that. I get a lot of, I'm dying, dreams. Yeah. Scott Teplin.
It's pretty straightforward.
It's pretty, pretty to the point.
Not hard to interpret.
No analysis there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't need to go visit a dream interpreter for I'm dying. And who said that? It's Scott Teplin, who has been a longtime friend of the show and somebody who, if you know the best show box, that the Sharpling and Worcester box, Scott did the amazing poster in the box, which depicts Newbridge, which is one of the most beautiful things that's ever been associated with this show. I just cannot believe. Like, when we saw that starting, when you sent initial sketches through, it was like, oh my God, this is like a real thing. Like, that's when the box set felt like real. It's just like, oh, like, talented people are doing like real things on this. And that is so amazing.
I'm just lucky to be a part. I thank you for including me.
Oh, no. Thank you for doing that. And you also did the mural in our studio now of the three-car pileup, which it seems to be... Is that a theme you kind of went into a lot of because donuts are a recurring theme for you.
It's one of the four themes that I work with.
And the themes are donuts.
Donuts.
Buildings.
Architecture. Architecture. Buildings,
yeah. Okay.
Gross anatomical stuff.
Okay.
And car crashes.
And car crashes. Look, those work, right? I think you cover all the bases with...
Yeah.
On one hand, there's a car crash. On the other hand, there's a donut. That's kind of... That's the spectrum of everything, maybe.
It's life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you, where do people find your stuff, Scott?
They could find it at teplin.com. T-E-P-L-I-N.com.
Okay. Yeah. And you do... You'll do the kind of occasional Kickstarter type thing where people can buy things in. It's almost like pre-purchasing.
That's
something.
Right. As yeah. a matter of fact, I've been building one up for the last year. I'm going to launch in October. I'm very excited about it.
Okay.
A big crazy school.
So people can track. People can be kept abreast of stuff at teplin.com.
Yes.
All right. I love it. I'm so glad you're here. And let's go and see who's on the phone. Half Hour Power.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, you're here with Dudio. Artist, Scott Teplin. Artist, Eric White. And disc jockey, John Solomon.
Hi, everybody. It's Taylor in Denver.
Hey, Taylor.
Hey, Taylor.
I know who you are.
Yeah.
You do a podcast with, what's that guy's name again? Edgar?
Oh,
what is it?
Yeah. It's Kevin O'Brien.
Kevin, yeah. And it's
although
Cole.
I prefer all the names you give him.
And where can people find your podcast, Taylor?
Well, you can go to iTunes or our website. We're just thesethingsmatterpodcast.com.
Wait till you see when you in Dudio's here. Did I say Jason? Did I say Jason
yeah,
Gore?
You said Dudio. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been on this podcast.
I as well have been on this podcast.
Yeah, it's a great podcast.
It is.
I didn't make the best of from last year, but
I as well did not make the best of from last year.
Taylor, did I make the best of?
I'm pretty sure you did, Tom. I mean, you're an A-lister. Yeah. What are we gonna, you know? You got to have it on there.
I did that when I did your podcast. I was in the parking lot of a gas station. Well, gas stations are pretty much just parking lots. It's like, the only way it's not the parking lot gas station is if you're inside the gas station, not just like. But I was. I had just come from IKEA, buying stuff for this studio, I believe.
Wow.
And,
well, they let you sit there for an hour without any sort of suspicious looks or anything?
No one cared.
Huh.
No one cared at the car filled with boxes at 9 o'clock at night parked in the corner of a gas station.
Yeah, with a man on a cell phone, yeah.
With a guy on a cell phone right by the entrance to the turnpike.
No suspicious activity at all there.
No. So what's going on, Taylor?
Well, you know, I'm so glad that John is there as well, because I have a question about DJing for you guys.
Mm, okay.
So I've started a monthly DJ night here in Denver, and I've also recently been to a few sort of parties, and I keep asking this question of friends and myself, and I'm not quite sure of the answer. So I'm wondering what you think is the proper ratio of songs that everybody knows to songs that only some people know when you're DJing?
That's a very good question, and I feel like, let's see what everybody else has to say about it.
I think it's three songs everybody knows, two deep cuts.
So a three to
three
two.
Three to two. That's
three to two.
Okay.
And one of those two has to be Bat Dance.
Fair enough.
You remember.
But can you go 3-2-3, or does it have to be...
3-2-3.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just keep going back and forth, basically.
Yeah, that's the model.
You do the two in a row, the two unknowns, the deep cuts in a row? Or
that's what I would do. Yeah. Just get them out of the way.
But don't people clear the floor, though?
Well, I don't... They're probably going to enjoy it. And then you can kind of get the ones you like, and then they'll get three that they really like. Okay. And then you can hit them with some other deep cuts. Like Party Man.
Man, this guy with his Batman. What did you just find? The Batman soundtrack? The Prince Batman soundtrack?
Yeah.
Great news.
He's rediscovering his passion. Well, see, I find that when I start playing the three that everybody knows, then it's like everybody, I mean, don't get me wrong, the two that people don't know, you know, you got to make them really good, obviously.
Yeah, they have to be good deep cuts.
Right. But like the three that everybody knows, all of a sudden,
balloons.
That's all they want to hear.
Yes.
From, can you imagine back then, hey, we got Prince, can you believe Prince is doing the soundtrack to the Batman movie? First song comes in, Bat Dance. There's no way this is not some, like, how long did he spend on this?
The worst.
Right? The worst. Do you know Bat Dance, Scott?
I do, yeah. I actually really liked that video when I was a kid.
It was like Prince was doing the music for the Batman, the Tim Burton first Batman movie. And these songs, like, they sound, first of all, those were like the first Prince songs where just like, these just sound like one guy recording everything. Like, they had, like, no feel of a band at all. Just like, this just sounds like a guy, because you hear, like, he can play all the instruments.
Yeah.
It's like the first time it sounded like, yeah, it sounds like he just assembled this.
Like, over a weekend or something.
Yeah, he just knocked this out, and then he just found, like, some backing tracks that he just went over the top.
That's actually true, though.
And that bad dance.
Yeah, he did really record the soundtrack in, I believe, a month.
Oh, it shows. It was so disappointing when I was so excited when I heard about that, and it's just, I think it's terrible.
Did you hear last week when Jason talked about how many times he saw Batman in the theater?
I did hear about that. Yeah, I told him maybe he needs to come on the show and talk about that.
When he was
11 years old.
Within how many weeks?
2 to 3 weeks.
So, within 2 to 3 weeks, you saw the first Batman, Tim Burton.
Yes.
Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
Kim Basinger. Yeah. Robert Wool.
Yeah. Who else would have been in
Did you know Robert Wool when you were 11 years old, Jason?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Who else would have been in that? Who played Commissioner Gordon?
I can't think of his name.
Is that the one that Billy D. Williams.
He was Harvey Dent.
Yeah, Harvey Dent. So you
38 times.
38.
You ever do more than once a day?
If I remember correctly, the maximum was
he's not crazy.
Was either 5 or 6 in one day.
Oh my god!
Wait.
What? Oh my god! See,
dawn to dusk.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was especially when I was visiting my grandparents in Salt Lake City, Utah. My grandpa would drop me off at, like, Fashion Place Mall, and then I would just wander in.
By yourself.
See it? By myself. Boom, 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 boom,
did
boom.
You pay each
He'd
time?
Swing back by in this Dodge Ram truck, pick me up, I'm out of there.
Did you pay each time?
Oh, yeah, I paid each time. Yeah.
And would you...
My allowance.
You'd leave the theater and then go right back up to the window?
Yeah.
One for Batman.
One more ticket, please.
Like, kid, you know we have other movies here. Like, did they ever say that to you? Like, kid.
They never questioned it.
A whole bunch of other movies. I'll let you into an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
Like, how about that?
How did you know it was time to stop? Like,
oh, God. I don't know.
The movie, like, left theaters.
Yeah,
like, that's when it was when it was taken away from you.
Yeah. That's the only opportunity I had.
Yeah. I think I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Time to stop.
But it wasn't that way for Batman Returns or Batman Forever or Batman and Robin. I think I saw those once.
Was
there something you were, like, looking for? Like, were you looking for, like, an answer or something? I mean, that just seems very, like, existentially looking for something.
I was a pretty lonely kid. B, I was really into comic books. And, I was just really excited about it. 38 times.
Yeah, that's pretty excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Michael Keaton thanks you for all that, exactly, that money you gave him.
Well, Taylor, thank you so much for calling.
Can I just mention?
Of course. Thanks for answering my question.
Yesterday was Taylor's birthday.
Oh.
Happy birthday, Taylor.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks, John.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, guys.
Happy birthday. And let us know, Tom, what goes on with your DJ night.
Sure, sure. It's the first Friday. Just it's online. Just find me, and I'll come and enjoy. It's all vinyl. It's going to be awesome. All right.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
All right, we will talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Do you remember when Alec Guinness, like when some kid came up to him at like when Star Wars first started blowing up, and some kid was like I saw it 100 times, and like he took the kid aside and was just like he was like legitimately concerned about this kid, and was just like. No one should. Let me just. He like was just like, I need to talk to you away from all of this stuff. And he was just like, no one should see a movie that many times. Like, he was like upset by the whole thing that some kid thought he'd be like, I saw it 100 times. Like, he'd be just like, all right, so cool. Like, he was already so skeptical of the whole thing. Like, that really is when like you watch those Ealing movies and then you're just like, this guy put on this dumb brown robe and he's like saying the worst dialogue ever. So beneath him. Like, is there anything more beneath somebody who is as talented as Alec Guinness, who pretty much invented, or not, maybe not, maybe, look, I don't know exactly. All of that British comedy, if Peter Sellers was influenced by Alec, like, that was his hero. Like, so all of that stuff. So if Monty Python is influenced by The Goon Show, but Peter Sellers, the first Peter Sellers movie was The Lady Killers, who he was in with Alec Guinness doing the full thing on the highest level, and he's doing Kind Hearts and Coronets, where he's playing, what, 12 characters? Like he was at... He was doing a kind of comedy before anybody else. I'm not a historian enough to take this to the line.
Right.
I mean, does that seem to track, right?
Well, that tracks.
Is that for, like, British comedy? Like, who was doing something before that? And then he's got to put on a brown robe and talk about...
Burlap robe.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to need you to Tunisia. Like,
is that like, 130 degrees.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, how long will I be here? 8 months? I don't know. We don't know yet.
Like, could be 12.
Talking to robots.
Yeah. And you're with, like, yeah, a lot of your scenes are going to be with this super dumb blonde kid who seems... Like, doesn't seem like much of an actor, but this is also, yeah. And then, hey, this is Anthony Daniels. He's going to be...
the robot.
Yeah. He's going to be in he's going to be in that yellow... that yellow suit you saw. He's in that. And he's just like, well, he was just like... When he did Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, was that right after Star Wars? Or right before it? It would be right after it, I think, right?
I don't know what
like
year
the TV, the...
Yeah, I want to say it was after it.
Let's look at this IMDb.
Did they just remake that into a movie?
They did. They took the... they took, like, the... It was like a miniseries.
Oh.
Let's look at this. I want to look at the things right before Star Wars.
Yeah, this was right after.
Yeah.
Star Wars. It was Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
So he was in a little bit of a, yeah, he was, it was, things were a little dry, it looks like. He was Scrooge in 1970s, and 72, then 73, Hitler. He played, he was Hitler in Hitler the last 10 days. I really want to see that now.
Is that available? Wow, I didn't know about that.
I want to see Hitler the last 10 days, super bad. Wow. And one of the creepiest things was, look, when I was when I was just like, hey, anybody got that Manson movie listening to the show, Inside the Manson Gang? 40 listeners were just like, here's a download of the Manson. I got the Manson thing on my hard drive.
You know something crazy? I may have this on DVD.
Hitler, the last 10 days?
So when my dad died, mm-hmm. My real inheritance from my father's passing was at least 1,000 World War II DVDs.
Wow.
Like a giant, and a, like a, it's World wow. War II Westerns, wow. old films, and I swear this is in wow. there. So I'm gonna go look after this.
Good double feature with Downfall.
I'm going to Google Alec Guinness, Hitler. I wanna see what he looked like as Hitler.
Here it is.
He looks a lot like Hitler. Oh my God!
That's shocking. I've never
that
seen
is.
That. That's terrifying.
Right? Isn't that weird? That's Alec Guinness. Like,
I know from here it looks like Hitler, the real Hitler.
Yeah.
Even up close, it looks like the real Hitler.
Yeah. Give him credit.
Do you own that?
Yeah, I think I do think I have this.
Half Hour Power. What's up?
Hi, this is Justin from San Francisco.
Justin, you're here with Dudio and artist Eric White, artist Scott Teplin, and disc jockey John Solomon.
Hi, everybody. I'm actually a brother of artist Eric White.
Hi, my brother.
I wanted to call to thank him for turning me on to the best show many years ago, and I've been a massive fan ever since.
That's awesome.
And I want to thank you, of course, for bringing it every week for so long. It's unbelievable. I'm so happy you keep doing it.
Well, that's awesome of you to say. Did you know that Alec Guinness played Hitler at one point? Did you know that? In 1973, he was Hitler in a movie called Hitler, The Last 10 Days?
I did not know that.
And we were just looking at pictures of him as Hitler, and he looks exactly like Hitler. Like, that is...
That's amazing. I'm going to look it up post-haste.
What's your name, little droid? Like, he had to say that. Like, this guy had to say that out loud. Who is the more foolish, the fool or the fool who follows him? You know, he was just like, oh. How much... Like, I definitely get killed in this, right? Like,
there's an out.
Any chance I could get killed at this cantina? Like,
he's just looking. Sir Alec, there's more.
He's
there's more.
To get out of the movie as quickly as possible. What if the blonde boy kills me?
While he's practicing with his sword,
he could hit me with that. That car of his. What?
But he had to do the ghost work in the other. Was he in the other? He was, yes, a ghost in both of, yeah, them?
He was a ghost in Empire and Jedi.
But that must have been a day, right?
Right, on a green screen or whatever.
Yeah.
What if they still made him go to Tunisia for those, too?
Yeah, exactly. We're shooting the green screen stuff outside. Like, they're so mad at him for just not being into it. They're just like, we... Look, we just shot some of the green screen stuff in London. We shot some in London. Let's make this bastard made so much money off this thing, and he just moans about it.
They're expanding the ghost role. You're gonna need to be here for 18 days.
Yeah, you're gonna need to say, use the force, Luke. We're gonna need you to come and say, look out.
Maybe he could be a ghost of Hitler in one of the next...
That would be... Yes, if he was the ghost of Hitler. Now, green screen with a blue tint. Would he have like a weird, like Hitler would have like a weird ghostly blue? What, where are you at, young man? Are you in California?
I am. I'm in San Francisco presently.
Nice. How's the weather?
The weather, it's, you know, it's, well, I live in a neighborhood called the Sunny Side, and it's 90% foggy. Okay. It was a trick of the developer. But I like the weather here. I don't like it when it gets hot, so I'm always happy here.
You know what I say. The coldest winter I ever spent was summer in San Francisco.
Right. The oft misquoted, I read recently that it actually wasn't Mark Twain who said that.
Yeah. I choose to learn nothing about the history of that, but just to completely, I think I get it a little more wrong each time I say it. Like, it's just like I'm playing telephone with myself on
right.
it. Well,
I like that.
Well, thank you for calling, and I appreciate all the nice words about the show.
I mean, every one of them. I really deeply appreciate what you do.
Well, we will talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Hey, Tom.
All right, thanks.
Yeah?
Bye.
Oh, wait. Did you finish the call? Oh, no, it's all right. I was going to wait till you hung up.
Oh, yeah.
This might be more for the best show itself,
yeah.
But since you were talking about minor league baseball earlier,
yeah,
I went to the Staten Island Yankees game tonight.
Okay.
And they're going to no longer be known as the Staten Island Yankees after this season. And they're having a naming contest.
Okay.
And that seemed like if there was ever a time for the Staten Island Yankees to be renamed the Staten Island Garbage Rats, you would have your chance to throw out many a first pitch in this scenario.
Is it like an online vote?
I asked someone as I was coming in, and it seems like there are some finalists, but I would imagine there will be a write-in capacity.
Oh.
It's just something to consider.
The Staten Island Garbage Rats. You know what it's going to end up being, though. The Staten Island Impractical Jokers. That's the bread and butter of Staten Island, are the IJs. Sal, Q, Joe, and Murr.
Yeah, it's an online form. Fans can submit their ideas via a form here. I will post this form.
Yes, Staten Island Garbage Rats. Right? Arthur Kill. Did you ever see Arthur Kill? Anybody seen the? Do you know what that is?
Well, no.
It was on Staten Island. The huge garbage dump.
Oh, yeah, the landfill.
It was so enormous. And then at one point they just kind of, like, covered it with dirt. Is that what happened?
They made a park or something out of
it?
Or,
like, it's not garbage anymore, but under it is garbage.
That's
think.
How they make ski hills in Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah.
So they make ski, they just, like, take landfills and...
I used to go skiing at this place. Mount Olympia, I think, in Wisconsin.
Mount Olympia. You know, the great... Where the gods live.
Yeah, there's that in Little Switzerland.
It's a garbage dump.
And they made their own snow even and just blew snow onto it. And they had a ski lift.
And you're just like...
That's where I learned to ski.
With a milk carton stuck on the front of your ski.
Lunch like, trays.
Yeah, lunch tray. Foot. Yeah, weird... like a weird Teddy Ruxpin's... Stuck in the garbage dump.
Long day.
Half hour power, what's up?
Not much, Tom. How are you?
Good. You're here with Dudio, artist Eric White, artist Scott Teplin, and DJ John Solomon.
Oh, man, I missed John Solomon being there tonight.
No, you didn't. You didn't miss it at all. You got it right now.
Yeah, you didn't miss any. I mean,
you missed a lot. I missed saying hello to him in person.
Saying hello to me in person?
Where? Yeah, because this is Pat Byrne.
Oh, it's Pat Byrne.
Hey, Pat.
Yes. I got to say this, Pat. You sounded super menacing when you just called. Like, you're just like,
yeah,
you. I didn't recognize you, but you're just like, I miss saying hi to him in person. It was like very threatening. I was like, wait, where are you? Where are you? Who are you? Who are you and where are you?
I've eaten Pat. No, I'm pulling out of the MetLife Stadium parking lot.
How was the Bruce Springsteen show that you and your father saw?
Yeah, he's here on speakerphone as well. And how long was it then?
4 hours? 4 minutes.
4 hours, 4 minutes.
No intermission, no encores.
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
And did
4 hours and 4 minutes.
And what was the high point of the show?
Well, there was no Tom Morello. That was a high point for me.
What? But,
that works for me.
You didn't want to hear him go, right?
We all love rapping on a guitar, but no, I don't know. He played a lot of early stuff. He started with like about almost an hour of material from just the first two records, which is really cool. And he just kind of went all over the place from there. Dad, did you have a favorite?
I like that he finished the Jersey Girl.
Yeah, he did. Fireworks went off. That was nice.
That's un-Bruce-like, though.
You thought the fireworks were un-Bruce-like? All right, my dad thinks that the fireworks were un-Bruce-like at the end of the night. But it was great. It was really great. We're exhausted, but it was good.
Did he, like, you tweeted that somebody held up a sign that said, play Outlaw Pete?
it was one of the most shocking signs I had seen. Up for the choosing. Yeah, you know, he goes into the crowd. He pulls signs. Someone loud and proud is just holding up a Outlaw Pete sign, and I was like, "Really? How do you come?"
Have you heard the song Outlaw Pete? It's a song. It's just like he wrote like a kid's book about it,
with
right?
His little baby boots.
It's just like it's the hokey. It's like he was listening to all this Pete Seeger at that point, I guess, and he wrote like...
Yeah, so it was a Seeger session moment for sure, but I thought of you immediately when I saw that, and I had to pull out my phone. I wasn't pulling out my phone a lot, but I took a couple pictures, and I had to share that because that was pretty funny.
So and what was the low point where you were just like, oh boy, how long is this going to go on?
Well, There was definitely an endurance test around like once you're nearing hour four, and we were on our feet the whole time. And I know I'm thinking about these guys on stage who are like in their 60s and 70s, and what they have to go. I mean, I think did you catch that they were like almost, I think like Max got up to be like, all right, that's the last song, and he's like, nope. Go back. We're playing another one.
I love it.
So I definitely felt for the band. But I don't know. There was the crowd was pretty crazy. I noticed a girl to my left she pulled out a bag of what I thought was drugs, but then she had something written on it with marker, and her friend was filming her. And then I realized she was scattering her friend's ashes on the ground next to me. Towards the end of the show, and then put the rest back in the Ziploc bag. And
during what song?
Do you know what song it was?
Tunnel of Love.
I don't know when it happened. I don't know.
Okay, my dad missed it completely. I think it was like
57 channels.
It wasn't. You didn't play that, but no, it was a surreal moment.
Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah, I didn't see AP Mike though. I was hoping to. To run into him, especially on a moment like that.
Yeah. But, well, there's 80,000 people at the thing, so it's not... The odds are against you to run into him.
That's true.
Well, look, you were missed here tonight, Pat.
Thanks, Tom.
And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
I hope everything's great. And you had a crazy show for your live Prove It All Night last week. You had former governor of New Jersey, Jim McGreevy, on your show.
That's right, and a girl after his interview heckled me about something I did or didn't ask him, I don't even know. But I'll get into that next week. That was another crazy show.
Okay.
But anyway, you guys have a good night. Sorry I missed you, John. And we'll see you guys soon.
All right, buddy. Bye. All right, final call here. Half Hour Power, what's up?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
Zach from Buffalo.
Zach from Buffalo. You're here with Dudio and artist Eric White, artist Scott Teplin, and DJ John Solomon.
Oh, hello to all of those mm-hmm. you mentioned. And
sure.
Message of joy and peace to you.
Yes. A message of joy and peace.
Yeah.
All right. What's up, Zach?
Well, you had me thinking about the end of summer and realized that I only have a short time now to enjoy one of my favorite songs in the right context, and that is Summer's Cauldron by XTC.
Wait, what?
XTC?
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not Skylarking. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, I had to
that
relate.
That album ain't so good. That album ain't so good.
Well, what?
That album ain't so good.
Not a fan?
Of that album? No.
what ones do you like?
I like Black Sea.
Oh, sure.
You know, rock albums. I like rock music.
Sorry. Yeah, but you, I know you're a fan of the Beatles, right?
Sure.
So it's sort of like a Sgt. Pepper's thing.
Yeah, and Sgt. Pepper, I don't like that album.
Oh, that's shocking to me.
Why? It's corny.
Oh, but I love it.
Nah, it's corny.
Sure it is. Yeah, it is.
Route. That's their worst album. That and Abbey Road are their worst albums.
Okay. Well, that is a serious 180 tick flip in my mind, Barry, saying that. But that's the name of the game with you, I suppose.
Wait, hold on a second. What's the name of the game with me?
That's a Badfinger song.
Yes, it is.
Kick flipping?
What's that now?
Kick slipping.
What is kick slipping?
It's like a 180, you know, when you're flipping.
Kick slipping.
But because I think Skylarking is a lame XTC album.
No, I can see that. It actually contains
it's
one of their worst songs.
It's drippy. It's such a drippy album, right? Do you know that album, John?
Is that the one with the circles? Oh, no, that's the circles is oranges and
yeah, that's a,
the
like
blue
that
the, one with the little gold.
It's the one that's got. It's the one that Todd Rundgren produced, and it sounds just kind of mushy.
It's a bad mix.
It has that Dear God.
Yeah, that song "Dear God" they was not on the original one, and they put it on when it be. But it's got look this song. There's a couple good songs on it, but on the whole, it's not the stuff I like by them. Sorry.
Fair enough. That's fair enough. And Black Sea is absolutely one of their best.
Yeah.
And
look,
yeah,
I love the Beatles just plenty, but Sgt. Pepper, lovely Rita Meter Maid.
Yeah.
Mr. Kite?
Sure,
my
sure,
seven?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like
not into
coloring
the
coloring book rock.
Like, oh. I love it.
Look.
That's like it.
You love it all day long. I don't care. I don't.
Yeah.
Where are you at, Sergeant Pepper? Eric?
It's just, I'd never want to listen to that one.
You just
got
never
a couple
want.
Things. Yeah, just... I like the cover. The album. I mean, I like the album cover.
Yeah, the album cover's great. Packaging is nice. The little inserts.
The little inserts, nice. Yeah, it's
mustache.
Not the one I want here. Yeah,
Scott,
where are you?
Sergeant Pepper, are you
on the Magical Mystery Tour movie?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Right. It's really bad.
Yeah, sure. Oh yeah, sure. I rewatched it last night though, and. Definitely has some moments that I
no,
love.
It can be fun, but it's not good, right? It's a giant mess.
Yes.
Scott, where are you at with these things? Are you a big Beatles fan?
I mean, I listen to it with my kids, but as far as who did the artwork for Yellow Submarine? Is that P. Peter. Well,
it has that Peter Max style, Peter like, Max. But it's not really.
I hate that. That drives me crazy.
Like those kind of.
Yeah, just the artwork for it. Yeah, the style of it, and it's like a.
And it's not their real voices, right? It's fake.
It's yeah, fake voices. Yeah.
I don't even know. It just gives me. It makes me feel very uncomfortable.
Hmm. You mean like the kind of like the bubbly like the. The big,
the bell bottomy, leggy, like the pointy shoes, and yuck.
There's no straight lines in any of that stuff. John, Sergeant Pepper, Beatles, any of this?
Well, I'm intrigued because that's a world that my daughter hasn't discovered yet, but it seems like that's something that would happen soon, and I'm curious to see how she responds to it
when somebody says to her. When she comes home and it's suddenly some other kid played her a Beatles thing or something.
Yeah. Like they do, like they have music and folk dancing at her school on Fridays. And I think like she's sort of started to be aware of those, some of those songs, but she doesn't know that they're by the same band.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of curious to see how that all plays
out. When I was in the grade school, we would listen to albums at lunch. And we played two albums over and over. The first Cars album and the Willy Wonka soundtrack. And that is literally, I'm still carrying that aesthetic. Right, I feel like that was the most influential thing that ever happened to me.
You're at the center of that Venn diagram.
Alternating between the first Cars album and that soundtrack sums up almost everything I'm interested in. Jason, Beatles.
If I'm going to listen to Sgt. Pepper's, it's going to be in mono, and I rarely ever listen to it.
All right.
But I listen to... I'm a big Beatles fan.
Yeah.
I'm a Revolver Rubber Soul guy. That's what I listen to.
Sure.
Everybody knows Revolver's better than Sgt. Pepper, right? Is that even a...
Ooh.
Yeah. Wait, Beatles for Sale's better.
You don't know that, dude? Caller, dude?
I don't think it's open for debate.
No, I don't think so. I think that debate has been closed.
Yeah, maybe it's been closed for so long, though. Now you gotta open it back up.
It's not time to open it up. White Album. To me, it's the
White Album. It's all fantastic.
There's some junk on the White Album, but it's...
Yeah, but it's junk. It's junk because they were pouring everything out.
Yeah, and only letting Harrison have a couple per, you know? Like, they had to put... Oh, blah, dee, oh, blah, da, which is maybe a good kid song, but I hope I never hear it again.
Do they have an album called Help?
Yeah.
Yes, and a film.
I have good memories of that.
But it's like with the Magical Mystery Tour DVD. You've got to watch it because it's the only one that the Beatles themselves were completely responsible for.
Which one?
Magical Mystery Tour. But
it's the only one where every decision was theirs.
Yeah, and then you also realize they didn't know how to make movies.
Yeah,
no.
For example, like you realize they were recording every day, and then there was no chance in there for them to learn how to make films.
Yeah, like Paul's like running with the camera up and down the bus, and it just looks like. Yeah.
And they were also on drugs. Like
no,
and look. Hard Day's Night is a really great movie. That's such a great movie. That's like that's like one of the most energetic movies you could ever. You ever seen Hard Day's Night when like it starts off and they're running and all the kids are chasing them and this one girl turfs out so hard and she I would have ended up in the hospital if I fell that hard.
She might have.
This one girl eats like the sidewalk chasing the Beatles. It's like violent. And then Help is like bonkers and fun because it's super colorful and it's like they're playing with James Bond kind of stuff and
yeah,
it's fun. It's
do you find it?
And then
do you find it?
Go ahead. No. Do I find it what?
Do you find it weirdly just like I don't know, redundant or just odd that in like the Beatles anthology, John makes the comment like he really had to make the comment. Oh yes, the girls and Hard Day's Night. Yeah, we had them.
Yeah, that's maybe why he's my least favorite. stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's like. Something about that, it's like you know, he's bearing it all. He's like, yeah, I think that's cool. Paul could do it and then act like it's no big deal. And John's pretty much being like, yeah, it is kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Well, John was also married at that point, too. Like,
was he? Kind of maybe, yeah.
Oh, he was.
Oh, he was very married.
Yes. All right, dude. Thanks for the call. You have a great night.
Good night.
All right. Scott Teplin. People find your stuff at teplin.com.
That's right.
If the Beatles were not your thing, who is your thing? What was the number one thing like that that just has stuck with you since you were a kid that you never, that has never diminished in your eyes? It doesn't have to be music either. What's something that has never...
You're going to think I'm not even telling the truth because you sometimes talk about it, but... I'm dead serious. It's Wacky Packages.
Mm-hmm.
For real.
Okay.
I have the books. My kids read the books.
Mm-hmm.
I used to draw them all the time. I still love them.
Yeah?
Mad Magazine, but Wacky Packages more than anything.
Okay.
They were actually invented in the neighborhood next to mine in Red Hook, Brooklyn, by Art Spiegelman.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Topps used to be, the trading card company.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
Late 60s.
Okay.
And Spiegelman started that?
Started that and Garbage Pail Kids.
And that always has been something that's resonated for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, yeah, big time.
That's awesome. John, what is that? What would that be for you, the thing that...
Like the constants...
Yeah, just exactly, a constant. Something that has never diminished. Something that's been, like, when you were young, it hit you, and it has always been something you could go back to.
Well, when we were talking, before we started recording, about Ed Emberley, I was thinking about other stuff that I would read at the library when I was a kid, and I think those Tintin books have stayed with me.
Okay.
Like, from, like, age 7 or 8, mm-hmm. straight on through. So that, okay. That's one.
Yeah.
And then the other was, and I'm not just saying this because Jason is here, like I got super into Doctor Who when I was about 10.
Okay.
And that, I got into that probably, like I would go to, there was like a fan club in Princeton of all adults, and I would go to it when I was like 10 or 11.
Okay.
And I don't know why my parents would drive me to their cookouts, uh-huh. where then yeah. they would try and play cricket in the backyard and
drop you off.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't make any sense across the timeline with my relationship with my folks that was something they were like, "Oh yeah, sure, go do that." Yeah. So those are two things. That I think have been with me for a long time.
You being a New Jersey person, were you watching it on like...
New Jersey Network, sure. Channel 23 or 52?
Yeah. On like Saturday nights? I would watch on Channel 13. I would see Doctor Who on Channel 13 at like 6 o'clock yep. on a Saturday.
So Channel 12 and Channel 13 would show it then. And then New Jersey Network would splice like... the four-part stories into like a 90-minute thing and show those on Saturday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a lot of Saturday nights at home watching Doctor Who.
A lot of watching them go down the same corridor.
Sure.
You're still into it now?
Yeah, I like it pretty well. You know, it's weird. The most recent season was the first one where I would always get very excited for it, and it didn't connect in the same way, and it made me wonder if it was more me than the material. Like, I still haven't decided yet.
Mm. Eric?
Well, yeah, in terms of music, I heard... I was lucky my parents had pretty good taste in music, so I got exposed to that stuff, and I had an uncle that was into the Beatles, so the White Album had a huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Stevie Wonder songs in the Key of Life. So those two records I still... I mean, I need to take breaks from them, but they still can deliver now.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And then there were a whole bunch of things that I was into, but then Star Wars came along and kind of wiped everything out, mm-hmm. you know, cleaned the slate. And I was in a state of shock when I first saw that movie for about 2 weeks. And then, you know, I mean, that's still...
2 weeks will do it.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
But I mean, but
2 weeks
still...
can turn a guy.
It can.
In 2 weeks, some dudes will see a movie 38 times.
38 times.
5 or 6 times a day.
Yeah. So Star Wars, suddenly nothing else could compete with that.
Yeah, it just wiped the slate clean, and I couldn't think of anything else. It kind of ruined my imagination, I think, in a way, so that's a negative. But it just did something powerful to me. And, you know, until Lucas ruined everything in the late 90s, it was... And it's, those first three are still pretty important to me. And then also a little bit older, SCTV was another thing that I couldn't... I used to record it on a crappy little just audio tape recorder.
Yeah.
That's like just a cassette tape recorder.
Oh, I did stuff like that where we would just be wanting to just be able to recreate it somehow.
Yeah,
and
just
it's like
retain it, you know.
Like I saw it, if I can't look at it again, at least I can hear it, and exactly. I know what I looked at the first time.
Yeah, and that's all we had. Or I guess you could just aim a Super 8 camera at it or something, but I didn't think of that. But the Fred Willard episode, I couldn't believe what I was watching, and I had to do something to.
Yeah.
My childhood, I spent a lot of time with a cassette tape recorder in the car recording usually America's Top 40.
Okay.
And recently my daughter has gotten very into the Hamilton soundtrack.
Okay.
But we don't have a paid Spotify subscription, so she can only sort of cycle through songs in the car at random.
Mm-hmm.
So she started taking an iPad and using the memo feature on and doing the exact same thing that I would do when I was a kid with modern technology.
That's crazy.
And I was exceptionally charmed by that.
Were you struggling not to cry when you...
When she came in the house playing me these recordings with her sort of muffled singing in the background?
Yeah, the same way, the exact same way Dad did it. Like, yeah. And SCTV for me would be when William B. Williams got fired from the Sammy Maudlin show and did his own show. That still might be the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Jason, what would be the constant for you other than the first Batman movie?
Yeah, the one constant for me is probably the band Queen. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
I've been a huge Queen fan pretty much all my life.
Mm-hmm. And when was the first time you heard Queen?
I remember hearing them when I was 2.
Okay.
Wow. When the game was out, my mom had the game. And I made her keep playing Another One Bites the Dust over and over. And then after that, you know, early 90s with innuendo and stuff like that, I got back into them.
Sure. Flash Gordon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. How many times did you see Flash Gordon?
I think maybe I've only seen it twice.
I've seen that probably 30 times.
Yeah.
That was an early cable movie where it's just like, I gotta watch Flash Gordon again.
Yeah.
I think I saw it in the theater.
I didn't see it in the theater. But I just remember that being on like HBO all the time. Like just like.
USA played it a lot too.
Flash Gordon.
Yeah. I remember that.
USA. It's America's network.
What about you? When is your constant?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I have one. No, I'm kidding. It's like the cop out. I don't have one of what you guys all seem to have. I don't know. I guess it would have to be some kind of record. There's stuff that's always there, like trying to think, like the first records I would buy, like I find myself going back to things that I would hate for stretches. Like that's what I end up being more interested in, is when it's just something that was just like, yeah, I quit on this and wanted nothing to do with it. Then it's like, maybe I'll listen to that again, see what that, and then it's just like, some of the production's terrible on things. Like, you can't believe it's so bad, but it's just like, yeah, I remember caring about this so much. Like, you know, all that early 80s synth stuff. Like, I've been listening to that for the last year. Like,
all the like the first three Depeche Mode albums and that stuff was just my favorite stuff when I was in, like, when it was coming out. And then now it's still works, but it's, you can hear, you can kind of see the creases on it or see the seams on it. But it's just like, there's something so simple about it that it's like kind of no different than like rock music in the, it's like, cause like these guys barely had control of those keyboards. Like they were just playing things so simple. And there's something like everything is so basic that they're doing cause they didn't have the technology to just make it insane the way you can fill stuff up now without having to, I mean, look. There were plenty of people with no talent then also, but who were just hiding behind electronics.
Yeah.
But when you see what people were doing with stuff, it's just like they're trying to do their version of something. I love those first two Depeche Mode albums, especially the ones when what's-his-face quit, Vince Clark, and then Martin Gore started writing the songs. It's no different than Pink Floyd. One big British album with a songwriter. He leaves. Some of the stuff shows up on the second album, but he's pretty much out the door. And then another guy takes over and starts writing the songs. Just like Pink Floyd. All right. It's late. Let's say goodbye. Thank you, Jason, for all the work tonight. I appreciate everything.
It was a blast.
And it was so great to have you here, Scott Teplin. Thank you for everything you've done for the show.
I love it. To be here. Thank you.
And Eric White, I'm so glad you got to come here and see the setup, and it's so great to have you here, and I'm such a fan of your stuff.
Thank you.
And John Solomon, I've known you for a long, long time, and I'm so glad to know you for a long, long time.
Aw, thanks, Tom.
And you're great. Thanks, everybody. Bye.